Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with another one of our season 40 winner, or not even winner retrospectives, just tell-alls. I keep calling it the winner retrospective. That's what I was used to saying beforehand. But with another one of our tell-alls, our fourth one of the season, today we are joined by Ethan Zahn of Survivor Africa and Survivor Winners at War. Ethan, thanks so much for joining us. We're excited to have you here. This is going to be awesome. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Forgot Survivor All-Star, which was in between Survivor Africa and Survivor Winners at War. Specialist, what's going on?
You know what's terrible, too? Last night,
Survive All-Stars, too.
I pretty much defended you last night. We did a podcast, and I defended you for about 10 minutes in your All-Stars game and how good your All-Stars game was. So for me to forget it right now, I think I just got it all out of my system last night, and it just didn't come out tonight.
Well, I think if both you and my mom think I played well in All-Stars, so like there's two of you now.
Hey, you know what? We're the only two whose opinions matter. So that's all you should be listening
to. That is true. That's it.
But this will be a lot of fun. You're actually the third person we're having on from Survivor Africa. We've had T-Bird on in the past. We had Lex come on to talk all about you. And T-Bird both came on to talk all about you before this season started. So
I love when other people talk about me and I don't know what they're saying. That just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
How was it, Alexa? Was it positive or was it negative?
I think it was all positive. Yeah. I don't think T-Bird could say anything bad about anybody if she wanted to. So,
Ethan didn't even comment on that. He just smiled. I think that means T-Bird could definitely say bad things if she wanted
to. We could all say bad things about each other if we wanted to, but some people choose not to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. And so you're coming in here. You're about to do an ANMA after this, too. So you're about you're about to have a long night ahead of you. I mean, for anybody who's listening to this tomorrow or the next day, obviously his AMA already happened, but he's got a long night. He's doing this right beforehand. I guess he wants to get all his Survivor out of the way first. But what's it been like since being back in this community? I mean, you were huge. You know, the first three winners we always say are like the really big winners of Survivor. Everybody remembers them. Come back for All-Stars, everybody remembers you from that. And then, you know, you took 32 seasons before you came back again. What's it like being back?
Man, it was a shell shock, that's for sure. You know, I definitely took 16 years off from the game of Survivor. But it's, to be honest, this part of it for me has been really fun. The last time I played, there was no social media. You know, there was no Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, none of that stuff. So our ability to like interact with fans and like see things happening real time and see opinions and thoughts and comments, for me, it's been really fun. It's been really exciting because the only other time back in the day, and you'll hear me say that, like you can put up a little ticker, like back in the day. So we're out three already, but back in the day, the only time we saw fans is like we have to show up in person. So this has just been really fun and rewarding for me, keep being back in the community.
And you did those letters from the edge all season, and those were super funny. I think everybody loved that. So you really did a great job with the social media game this year.
I mean, but we've seen it happen before. I mean, you think about, you know, when they did Second Chances and all of that, you know, Kelly Wentworth won social media in between San Juan del Sur and Second Chances. That's why she's back on Second Chances. So you never know. You keep making these appearances. I don't know if you have the plans to play again if they ask you, but I mean,
if that's the case, I'm going to shut down all my social media across the board. You'll never see me again if this is what like leads into getting on the show.
Is that your way of being like, you know what, season 40 was my swan song there, that's it?
Season 40, I think, was the perfect bookend to the amazing life that Survivor has given to me. And I think I gave it my best shot, had a wonderful time, loving what's going on right now, but I think that's enough. I think it's enough for me. The game has changed so much in a way that for me, it was a little bit unrecognizable in some parts. But I think I'm good with the way it's all played out.
And how was it just hitting the beach on those first couple days? I mean, you have this amazing confessional where you're just like, I'm going to throw up. I have no idea what's going on. What was it like to walk into a game that you thought you knew and then have it be completely different?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, like, I knew what was going on.
Right.
The pace was a little bit quicker, but the game of Survivor, you know, it's difficult, but it's like not that hard to understand. I understand what was going on and what was happening around me, but the pace at which the game was going on was, you know, pretty rapid. And that was something for me to get used to. But hitting the beach, yeah, I was super excited. You know, this is like Tony said, the Super Bowl of Super Bowls, right? So when you get there on the beach, your heart is just pumping. You're seeing all the people that I've watched on TV over the past 20 years as well. So for me, it's like I'm fanboying on some people, yet I'm like thinking, oh, I've already been here. And then I'm watching Jeff Probst's expression, and he's pretty psyched about it all. So it was just that the overall experience was overwhelming at that moment, just for everything it represented in my life. So to bring that in and then have to perform in a challenge like that right off the bat on the start, it was like, what's going on?
Yeah, and that, and I think it's like so interesting because you said like you knew what was going on, and like from the edit, it was like, oh, Ethan's over his head. And just being that you were like a competitive athlete, a professional athlete your entire like life. So that just creates like a different sense of competitive nature too. And I was like, Ethan knows what's going on here. It's just that the last time he played, there weren't idols. You guys, the crazy twist in All Stars is that there were three tribes. Like, think about that. Now we see three tribes every season, pretty much. And that was the crazy twist of All Stars. So,
well, the crazy twist of Africa was a tribe swap.
Whoa.
The first ever in the history of the game. You know, we sent three people to their tribe. They sent three people to our tribe. And like, that was like a huge deal. And it actually was a huge deal at that time in Survivor Africa.
Absolutely. And I mean, I still think today, I rewatched Survivor Africa 2 weeks ago, and I still think like that's probably the best twist they've ever done, because it's the simplest thing that we should all see coming.
Yeah.
And because we're so used to it, and just the look on Lex and Big Tom and especially Silas, the look on their faces is like iconic. I mean, that's one of the best moments in the history of the show, and it happened 37 seasons ago.
Right? I know. I feel this back in the day. You need to preface that with back in the day.
I do.
Ninth reference already.
Yeah, right. We used to walk to tribal council uphill both ways in the snow, barefoot back in the day.
In now the 100
degree
weather.
Now they drop us off in a boat or a car, and it's just like, you know, they put a lei around our neck when we arrive. You know, it's animals go back in the cages. It's just a piece of cake these days.
What it sounds like is, it sounds like Ethan was like, this isn't as authentic as I remember it. I just want out. Everybody, let me out of here. I'm done.
Yeah, just get me to the edge of extinction as quick as possible, because that's the closest to Africa that this game has to offer these days.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
And it's that, I mean, from what we saw, Edge of Extinction seemed as horrible as advertised in terms of just difficulty. How was that just 180 wise from the regular island, that when you first started and then when you ended up leaving?
Yeah, I mean, it's two different games completely. And so you feel a little bit separated from the real game, because it's basically purgatory. It's, you're living in a world between life and death in the game of Survivor. So part of you like just wants to have that drive and that competitiveness and that energy to keep going. But then like you realize all that effort, it doesn't necessarily add up to the same outcomes as it would in like the real game. So strategy is not as cutthroat on the edge from my experience. It could have been going on around me. You know, there aren't that many challenges, and the challenges that do happen, they're sparse and they're fairly quick, except for the log challenge. And then, so like the constant pressure, anxiety, stress, you know, running around, looking around, it's not as present on the Edge of Extinction from my experience.
Yeah. And so you brought up the log challenge, which we'll talk about. I mean, we're only 10 minutes in, but we might as well talk about it now, because even though it was after you'd been voted out of the game, it was obviously a huge moment. And, you know, for somebody like me, I was 9 years old, I think, the first time you played. And, awesome. But like, I was playing soccer. I thought I was going to be like, you know, a professional defender. And so like, when I was watching you, I was like, wow, like that's the guy I'm rooting for. I was rooting for you and Lex the entire time. And it's interesting, 'cause like back then, like you were like the really athletic, like challenge piece. And now we see you, you know, almost 20 years later, and you're still athletic and in shape and everything. But that challenge just like really took it out of you. And like, what was that experience like? And was that just like way harder than anything you expected to have happen out there?
Yeah, it was a brutal challenge. Just in general, the challenge was difficult. And, you know, I thought I was cut out for it, but my body just didn't work well at that moment. And, you know, I'm not going to say it was because of the health challenges I went through, and that's why that happened to me. However, on that day, it just, yeah, I totally just, my body wasn't working. It was day 9. You know, none of us had been sleeping, eating water. I was dehydrated, went out too fast, trying to keep up with Natalie, thinking I was that big, strong guy. And it ended up just kind of not going in my favor that day. And so I think it was on log 16 that, you know, I ended up passing out, and they called in the medical. And so, yeah, it was humbling. It was a little bit embarrassing. And, you know, I've said this before, but on the flip side of that, it was pretty neat in the sense that I thought like Danny and Natalie and Amber would literally just like kick me when I'm down. We're competing for $2 million. There's fire tokens floating around someplace. But instead, like the opposite happened. And they kind of just, yeah, they picked me up. They rallied behind me. They walked up that last leg of the race. And that was like, that was pretty neat. Like, you know, compassion and empathy transcending the game for that like brief moment. Mm-hmm. And I think Survivor did a pretty good job wrapping that story up and making it into, you know, that was like my moment of the season, I feel. And it was pretty neat. It's pretty good to feel that way.
Go ahead, Alexa.
Just going to ask, so it was log 16. About how long do you think the entire process took?
I think it took around between 5 and 6 hours. That's my guess. For me, at least. For the others, they finished earlier, but for me, it took a little bit longer. But I think around 5 hours, 5.5 hours.
Gosh,
that's brutal. And so I know you, like you had said, like, you know, those people who helped you out, and you had Natalie and Amber and Danny. Do you think that there was something, I know Natalie's not an old schooler, but was there something with the old school being there on the edge and seeing like another fellow old schooler? Like, was there kind of an you're in this together mentality there?
Yeah, for that, I don't think it was an old school, new school thing at that moment, but the in this together mentality was that is what it was. Mm-hmm. We're the only four people there. We're kind of screwed for, you know, we know what's about to come to us. And we just, you know we had a really difficult challenge ahead of us. And it was, yes, we were competing, but no one could really get the other person's fire token. So you're only competing against yourself. So therefore you had that group mentality, and we're all cheering each other on the whole way. Like every time Amber passed me, she says something positive or smiled. Same with Danny, Natalie, pick it up. Come on, Ethan, you got this. So all that stuff was happening. Whereas, you know, so there was this undercurrent of camaraderie and history, and like, just bottom line is we're humans. We like each other. We don't want to see each other suffer and get injured. So the game just was secondary. You know, we were just all wanted each other to finish in a good, successful way. I feel.
Yeah. And so like when you played in Survivor Africa is well known for having some of the most brutal challenges, that Boulder challenge where you're literally crushing Kim Johnson. It's like she's now flattened out like a cartoon character, but now newer school seasons really haven't had brutal challenges. You've had a couple that are difficult, but normally it ends with a puzzle and there might be a little bit of a strenuous part. We saw Alec Merlino have to stand there and also listen to Christian, which I guess is difficult. But for you, were you expecting to have to compete in a challenge like this going out there? Or were you thinking that, okay, I'm a little bit older, but most of the challenges I'll still be able to adapt to?
I don't know. I was completely expecting. I was expecting the most difficult challenge. Like they would pluck the hardest challenge from each season and throw it at us. I was not disappointed, but a little confused that they just kind of went with the same old thing that we've seen before, you know, from season 38. I was hoping they would just blow this out of the water. I mean, don't get me wrong, the challenges are absolutely spectacular, but I thought we would see something a little bit different in some of the areas. And they were a lot quicker than what I remember. You know, the endurance challenges on this season, you know, hugging the pole or standing on that wobbly thing in the water. Like from my experience, like those went forever back in the day, you know? And then like when they came back, I'm like, oh my God, how long did that last? They're like, oh, 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, 20 minutes. Granted, it's difficult and it's hard, but those long stand on the pole for 24 hour challenges just don't exist anymore.
So how did you, going into the season, how did you train, whether that be challenge-wise or starvation-wise, especially expecting these crazy, crazy hard challenges?
Yeah, I had a pretty good, you know, workout routine. Like, well, first of all, when I got the call, I'm calling you right now from New Hampshire. So when we got the call in January, it's winter outside, you know, the water's frozen, there's snow up to your knees, like you're not doing anything fun on the outdoors. So my wife and I, we made the choice and we moved down to south for a couple months so I could be outside and like run and hike. And, you know, I learned how to build fires again. My wife was hiding shit in the forest for me to find on some days, you know, like I was tying knots. I was doing balancing drills. I was working out. Like I had a trainer. I saw a shrink. I read books on lip reading and body language. You know, I read a book on like personality types. So I'm like, if I'm going to do this and I'm coming out of retirement after 16 years, and this game is like something a lot different, I made it my job. I'm like, this is my job to get ready to go play Survivor. Maybe I'll be my last hurrah. Maybe I'll do well. You never know. But I just wanted to like give the respect that this game deserves from my perspective. And plus, I wasn't in the greatest shape in my life at that moment also. So like,
you're hibernating up to like
crunch time. Like no matter how old you are, like cramming the night before a big event or the couple events is like what had happened. So yeah, I had to get myself ready. Fitness was a big part of it. For me,
it sounds like the one thing you forgot to do though was like call up Sandra, call up Yule, it sounds like that's the thing. You did all the physical stuff, you did everything like that, but you forgot to get on the phone with everybody. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but nowadays if there's a returning season, all 20 people are calling each other on the phone beforehand.
Tell me about it. Literally, that probably would have been the best thing I could have done was to do pregame alliances. I mean, from my perspective, it looks like there was a lot of stuff going on before the game that helped impact what was going on during the game. And so, you know, when you get cast on this show, Africa, All Stars, and even this time, they're like, do not talk to anyone. It's not okay. You know, you got this contract. That was a rule. So I'm like, yeah, like Africa and All Stars, there's no way I wouldn't call anyone. I would have called no one. I didn't call Lex or Tom. And I was dating like half the cast anyway, All Stars. I didn't call any of them. So like, you know, there was a situation where I just didn't know it was part of the game these days. And when I showed up there and started to realize people were working together, and how do you connect those dots when you edit this show together? Cause it just, so that was a little disappointing for me. And I just wish I had known. I really do. Cause it would have been a game changer, as you could see. I mean, all the old schoolers went out first, whether it was organized or just random. I don't know. I saw what happened in All Stars. You know, they voted the winners off first as well, or tried to at least. And so I think it was disappointing and unfortunate because I just followed the rules that Survivor and CBS told me to follow, yet no one else followed those rules.
You got to cheat, man. And it does show, though, because the people who did a little bit better. I mean, Boston Rob lasted a little bit longer, and Sandra would have lasted longer had she not given up the idol. They were in the mix recently. You know, knew what buttons you could push and whatnot. Whereas Amber goes out as the first old scorer to go, then Danny, then you, and even Parv. Like, you don't really know which buttons you're pushing because you haven't played. I mean, even in Parv's case, she was the most recent out of those four, and she hadn't played in 10 years.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And on the flip side, part of me, I didn't know pregame alliances really existed. And second of all, though, going into the game with a structure or allegiance to certain people makes it a little bit more difficult to be nimble and adapt and flip flop and do what you need to do to get through. If I was locked in, I mean, Parvati and I are friends outside the game. So obviously I knew Parvati. And if you want to call that a pregame, great, but it's not like we said, hey, like, let's align, and then we bring this person in and that person in. And but if this happened, you know, none of that happened, but we knew we would probably work together if we could, because we trust each other outside the game. So I feel like being locked into an alliance when you get into the game could pose problems, as well as not having any alliances when you walk into the game. But for anyone who's listening, is planning to go on the show, whatever you can do, like figure it out on social media. Even if it's a newbie game and there's strangers, there's ways to figure out like who's going there. I'm sure you could probably do a good job. Just keep your ears to the floor. And if you can get a pregame alliance going, I highly suggest it, because that's a big deal. And if you go to events like a poker event or something, do not talk about an alliance publicly if there's cameras around. That's a horrible part now. Like all these returning players that are going to show up at like Hearts for Reality and, you know, whatever, Reality for Diabetes, and all these events that are happening. You got to watch your back, because that information is going to be weaponized against you if any of you meet each other again in the game. So just be careful. Don't drink too much. You know, wash your hands, all that stuff.
Wash your hands. Yeah, watch out if there's a camera.
Exactly.
Was there Was there anyone who you, when you hit the beach, anyone who you hadn't met who you were really excited to meet, or anybody you were really surprised to see?
I didn't really met. Well, there are definitely people I met. So I've been to an event in Boston for a cancer organization, and Michelle and Jeremy were there. So I met them. Obviously, I knew Rob. I hadn't talked to him in 16 years. Were there people, you know, I'm trying to think. You know, I was excited to meet, like, actually, no, I met a bunch of the people. That's not true. Like, yeah. I met Sophie once. I met Kim once. But nothing, like, real. So I wasn't super excited to meet anyone I had watched on TV before.
Well, because you're the OG. You don't need to be excited. You don't, well, like, no, Adam Klein's excited to meet you, yeah. Not the other way around.
On the flip side, how excited was Adam to meet you? I guess yeah. Would be the question.
Well, he didn't show it. If you show love by getting someone voted out, then that's a fucked up way to, like, date someone, right? I know Adam's probably listening, so sorry, Adam. I'm just joking. Just so you know, Adam, this is going to go on forever. Forever I log to you. I'm just, every now and then I'm going to just throw you a jab.
But there you go.
Adam and I are good. We're in a good place. He's, you know, a decent guy and a good friend of mine. So I'm okay. But I like ribbing on him.
You got to give him a little poke.
Just got a little. I mean, hey, you know,
he's supposed to go out there and he's supposed to idolize the old schoolers. And instead, he's trying to vote all of you out. And it was BS, man. Like, he knows. Because, like, we've had Adam on this show a couple times. And Adam actually listened to this show before he went and played Millennials vs. Gen X. That's how long we've been around. And that's how old Adam is now. And so, like, he knows he's breaking our hearts when he's doing this. He knows the community is getting pissed.
Right.
And he just does it anyway. He's just like, well, forget. Yeah. I mean, we had the same thing. We had Michelle on, and we were like, you voted out Yule. Like, you did that. That's on
they
you.
They had a pregame going too, I think.
Well, that's what I was actually going to say to you. How crazy is it that the guy who brings up this poker alliance, pretty much the one who was talking to everybody from what we're hearing.
I don't know. I don't know what went on, but, and you know, I'm not blaming anyone. But I also feel in terms of a strategy for people going in there, this is something I'm bringing up for the first time, and Adam should have realized this. This is just as much a TV show as it is a game show, right? So there's a few seasons ago where his name was Mike. He had, like, he came in second or third. Red hair. He's an actor from a comedian actor. I don't know if you know.
Oh, Mike White.
White. So I remember Mike White was saying, they're all in the water. He's like, listen, we got to vote Christian off tonight because you know everyone at home loves him.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I'm like, wow, this guy's playing the game of Survivor, basing his decisions on what he feels the fans are are feeling about a certain character on the show. So having said that, we all know Boston Rob's, a moneymaker. Poverty's a moneymaker. You know, Kim, you know, Tyson. So if Adam was smart, you got to keep the people who get the most camera time. And therefore, you're going to stay in the game longer because the camera loves these guys. And therefore, you're going to be next to them. You're going to get more camera time. They're going to get more camera time. You vote all off the big names. What happens? So as a strategy going into this, as a contestant, if you see someone else that the camera's just loving, align with that guy because, you know, they want him on the show as long as possible. And therefore, you're going to stay along.
And vote him out of Final Five. That's it. Get him out of Final Five. Because that's, I mean, when we were talking pregame, so we had done a series where we had done, you know, a retrospective on all of the winners who were going to be playing. So we interviewed somebody from each of your seasons, and we used Lex for Amber and T-Bird for you. So we talked to both. But even like when we were talking to Johnny Fairplay, we were talking to a lot of people felt that you were going to go really, really far into the game because of your social game. And ultimately, it actually looks like that's what hurts you because you were the nicer of the three. And Jeremy and Michelle would rather have worked with Parvati and Boston Rob because they were always going to be kind of more controversial and lowering your face and always be a little bit bigger of a target. Were you expecting that to happen when you went out there?
No. I mean, I was expecting that people didn't remember how I played strategically. They're probably like, oh, nice guy, decent athlete, charitable, you know, had cancer. Like, that was my story. But they're not like, oh, Ethan made this move here and he manipulated this person. Like, that wasn't probably what people remember about me. So in that sense, I thought it was an advantage because people wouldn't know how I would play with idols and clues and tokens and all that stuff. So I think Michelle and Jeremy, wanted to work. They had the same strategy as I did, like align with people that are meat shields, bigger threats than yourself. And you're going to be like the guy behind the guy. You know, that's the role Jeremy wanted to play. He wanted to be behind Rob. Michelle wanted to be behind Parvati. And that was their strategy, which was a decent strategy at the time. So I felt the same way. So I aligned with Parvati and Rob because, one, I wanted to have an old school alliance because it's just this kind of instant connection. And I also wanted to have a foot in the new school, and that was my alliance with Adam. Mm-hmm. So obviously it backfired, and I think just the string started to unravel because just Adam wanted to make a big move a little bit too early. Like, I would have been okay with a big move working with Adam later, but he was planning for like tribal council final three on day 7. Mm-hmm. And right. I just felt like, listen, dude, you got to slow down a little bit. But you know, that's my old school attitude, and he had the new school attitude, right?
Yeah. And because, again, I just watched Africa, and when you're rewatching Africa, it's like, well, Diane passed out, so Diane goes home first. Jesse can't drink the water, so Jesse goes home second. And on this season, it was, well, Amber's related to Boston Rob, who is doing that. And Natalie and Jeremy played together. And like, it's just not the same.
Everything from outside the game.
Yeah. Yeah,
like Natalie and Jeremy. Well, like Natalie's sister is Jeremy's godfather. You know, Amber and Rob know each other. Wendell and, you know, Michelle dated. So like everything from outside the game was a factor inside the game. It's crazy. I'm super impressed that the editors were able to make those connections so the audience could, you know, view it and see it. But yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I forgot what the question was.
No, I mean, there wasn't really one. It was more of an open-ended statement.
Yeah, okay.
what was your, not to, I guess, like jump too far to the end, but what was your relationship with Natalie like throughout the, I guess, in the game and on the Edge of Extinction?
Well, in the game, I talked to her, you know, 24 hours we had a relationship. So I wouldn't even call that a relationship. It was so scrambly and frantic those first 24 hours. It was just nuts. The whole thing was, please do not let it be me. And that was, I think, for everyone. On the Edge of Extinction, we had what I feel was a good relationship. You know, obviously she kept me in the dark along with a lot of the other people on some of the things that she was finding and sending into the real game. Like, I remember sitting at Tribal Council once and Tony was like, yeah, the people that send shit from the Edge and blah, blah, blah. And I looked at Natalie and I'm like, can you believe they think we're sending them stuff from the Edge? Oh, meanwhile, she sent like stuff to like, you know, Sandra already and brought in Tony. And I'm like, inside she must have just been cracking up. Mm-hmm. So, but I enjoyed Natalie. I had a good time with her. Obviously, I voted for her at the final three. And so, yeah, you know, I respected her and the way she played the game. And, you know, she was definitely playing the game out there and that was noticeable, but I was okay with that.
That was one of the biggest surprises, I think, of the voting, though, was that you voted for Natalie, being that you were an old school player and, you know, the old school. I mean, just talking to any old school player, they're like, no, we want no tribe swap. We want a merge at 10. Jury starts at 9. No idols, no steal, nothing. And so for you to vote for somebody who was over on the Edge of Extinction pretty much the entire game, was it that you had just known her better than Michelle and Tony? Or did you really feel that, you know, she played the best game because she took advantage of everything that was thrown at her?
This was a very difficult decision for me because exactly like you said, I am a Survivor purist. I love the game. I respect the game. The biggest aspect of the game is you can't get voted out and you got to be able to vote people out. Right? Natalie didn't really do either of those things in a magnificent way. Mm-hmm. However, like, I never met Tony. I never shook his hand. I never smiled to him. I never talked to him. Everything I knew about Tony was from what I saw at Tribal Council and what people told me when they came to the Edge. So for all I know, it could be real. It could be fake. I have no idea. So that was my experience of Tony. My experience of Natalie is completely different. Obviously, see, I lived with her for 30 days and we struggled together. And like, she basically, like, she broke out of jail. She got out of jail and made it. She's in freedom right now. And she validated my experience on the Edge. I mean, it was brutal. It was difficult. It was like one of the worst and most difficult things I put myself through. And like, she kind of represented that for me. And I just, when it came down to the game, clearly I'm a guy who plays with my heart, especially in this season. You know, my brain wasn't functioning that properly. And so for me, I was like, it's like I play with my brain, I play with my heart. And I'm like, well, my whole thing this season is just personal relationships and like, you know, open, honest, authenticity, enjoy life. So I voted with my heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are certain, you know, you can look at this. Believe me, I think Tony is the deserved winner. I think he played an incredible game. He did everything perfectly. I mean, everyone that came to the edge loved him. No one had one bad thing to say about the guy. So to be able to do that and vote people out in a game like this and still have people love you is a clear sign that you're doing something right. But you can also take the point of view where, yes, I'm a Survivor purist, old school, but the rules of the game for this particular season, the Edge of Extinction was part of it. As a fan of the show, I think it's great. I think it's bad. I don't really love it that much. As a contestant, obviously, I love it because you're kind of still in the game. So to actually win this game, and you're saying who has the most well-rounded game, like in theory, someone has to go to the edge and get back into the game to have experience every aspect of this game. Tony didn't go to the edge. He doesn't know what that was like. Natalie's played in the game, went to the edge, went her way back. So if you want to look at the rules and someone who's experienced the full game in its full entirety, then you maybe need someone that's experienced the real full game. I'm just playing devil's advocate, and it's an argument you can make. I don't think too many people can believe it, but like Tony has no idea. Tony, I talk to Tony now. He's like, oh, I would have never lasted on the edge. I don't believe him. Trust me. But like, he's like, I would have just pulled a flag. I'm like, you probably wouldn't have, but like, he doesn't know how he would have responded out there. You know, if he was voted off first and then had to live out there. But I hear you. I hear all sides of the story. You know, I value all those opinions as well.
Well, I mean, because we've interviewed a lot of the people from Edge of Extinction, from the first Edge of Extinction season. And, you know, that's what a lot of them talked about. None of them say, no, we regret voting for Chris. Like, the people who voted for Chris are like, no, I wanted to vote for Chris because I felt he played the best game. And I feel like with you especially, like, you saw all of the hardship Natalie had to go through. Whereas even somebody who came in later, like when Jeremy came in, I know Jeremy was obviously going to vote for Natalie because it's essentially family. But when you get that far into the game, Jeremy doesn't know that Natalie was having to carry logs up and down and all of that, where you're seeing all of that. And like you said earlier in this podcast, that was really the most old school part of the game, were those types of moments. So I do understand it. It was just one of those things where I'm like, I'm surprised that a winner, previous winners who had won without being voted out, would vote for somebody who'd been voted out. But, you know, when you talk about it, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the Edge itself, I felt, was the closest to old school Survivor in the sense that it was all relationship building, you know, jury management. We actually needed to like kind of rely on each other to survive, like build fires, get firewood, you know, all that stuff. Where like in the main game, it just kind of goes out the window. Like, everyone just understands they're going to have to be uncomfortable for a while. There's not as much camaraderie in terms of leaning on each other to get through a day. Mm-hmm. You know, like there is nothing to do on the edge, nothing. So like, and then you're starving and you're hungry and it gets dark at 5. And you heard Tyson say like, the days are long, the nights are longer, you know? So like, there's just a lot of time to just, I don't know, be depressed. But like, you know, you just get to know people. So for me, like, that's what Africa was like. You sat around a lot, you had one challenge a day, and, incredibly hot, and you're incredibly hungry and uncomfortable, and like, you just end up talking to people and getting to know people. So that suits my game, you know, that the Edge definitely suits my game, except for the fact that I couldn't, you know, win a challenge or find a fire token.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus. I mean, Natalie won every single challenge on the Edge, every single one. Not only did she win it, she beat people like by a lot. I mean, there's one challenge, this challenge, where she didn't win, like this challenge, right?
That was perfect.
He was ready to go.
This is the only challenge I think Natalie did not have a hand in.
Yep. Oh, that Rob had.
Rob got two of them or three of them?
Three of them. Tyson had one. I got zero.
Yeah, but you got the piece of paper.
What else do you have in those drawers?
Oh, good challenge. Segue. This are my secret drawers that I don't know. You can ask. What do I got in here?
Oh my God! Is that not a log?
It's the clue from the log challenge.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry.
That's
instant PTSD right here.
I was going to say, I know since you're up in New Hampshire, I know you probably have a huge, really cool wood pile, like for burning fires. You got to put that log above that wood pile, like just frame it. And like every time, you should only carry one log at a time over to that.
Well,
wood pile.
Go to my social. I can't believe I'm even doing this right now because like, it's still not me. But this is my social media post today.
Oh, I love it. I'm off Instagram right now because unlike you, who seems to be loving social media, I don't love social media. So I've been off it for like the last week, but I wish I was on so I could have seen that and prepped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, so basically this is because I am actually working with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and we're recreating this frickin' log challenge to raise awareness for blood cancers. So myself and Natalie, Nick, Michelle, we are all on June 13th, and this is a plug, on June 13th, we're doing the log challenge 2020, and this is what it exists of. Here, ready?
Oh my goodness.
You got to pick a log. Pick a log, any log. It can be a stick, it could be a branch, it could be a picture of a log on your freaking cell phone. I don't care. You walk 200 steps with that log, then you do 20 step ups also with that log, and then do that 20 times. And so that's kind
anywhere,
of how
and any type of log, whole world type of log,
virtual log. Like, hey,
so like, Alexa ready? And I can partake in this.
I'm going to do this in New York City. Yeah, thank you.
So, yeah. And it's called the Leukemia Lymphoma Society does this thing called the big climb. It's like they climb Salesforce building in Seattle or in San Francisco, 61 floors, but now it's all virtual. So Natalie and I, we did a little twist on it, paid tribute to the edge of extinction. And, you know, I live by the saying these days to never let a crisis go to waste. Because it's an opportunity to do some really important things. And that was taking this horrible nightmarish of a challenge, the log challenge, and turning it into something beautiful and incredible. So if you want to join our tribe, you can go to my social media and click on the link, join the tribe. There is no fundraising required. There is no registration fee. It's all about having fun with the family. Get outside on Saturday, June 13th. And I did it, tested it out. It took me about walking at a decent like medium sized pace. It took me about 25 minutes to do that. So
you can do that.
So that's not
if you're gonna work out, you might as well do this as your workout on Saturday.
So not quite as extreme though as what you had to do on the edge, which took 5 or 6 hours. This took 20.
You can't drink.
Yeah,
we should be doing fast the night before. Like, I've talked to some people and I'm okay with using a wine bottle as your log. Mm-hmm. 20 steps, 20 step ups, 20 sips. You never know, right?
And now my girlfriend will partake. Okay, good. So now we can all do it. But no, so I love that. That's a great idea. That's like a really cool little twist on that. And, I think that this is something that we're seeing right now with everything being virtual and like these types of moments. There's so much focus right now on our phones, on what's going on. And it's great that you're taking that opportunity to really, bring awareness to something positive because right now you have more people's attention than you probably have had since 2001, and that's not because you've, not because of Survivor or anything like that, just because everybody is focusing on what's going on right now on their phones.
Yeah, so. I agree. And a lot of what I do has a charitable component to it. Even these shirts right here, the money from these shirts goes to rare cancer research. So, yeah, it's something I believe in. I think you can do good business, by doing good business.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you then, since you are wearing that shirt and there's just been something going around where people are kind of rooting for this old school kind of new school season.
Right,
and
you said,
no, I'm done. I'm not playing. So if it's not going to be you, right, if you're just saying I'm done, not playing, even if they ask me, I'm not going out there in my old school Survivor shirt with my whole like army of friends. Who from your original like Africa season or even from All Stars, but who we haven't seen in a while, do you think would do really well on an old school versus new school season?
Ooh, on an old school versus new school season. I think Kelly Goldsmith from Africa. I think T-Bird, but she looks like she really wants to go play again. Mm-hmm. That's clear. Those two, I would say All Stars. I mean, I would love to see Rob Cesternino out there again, right?
Yeah.
The know-it-all.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know.
You gotta call yourself a know-it-all. That's
you gotta know it all. I mean, he does know it all. Have you ever talked to him? He knows everything about everything. He knows it all.
Everything.
Yeah, I love it. So I don't even Google stuff anymore. I just call Rob.
That's amazing. Yeah. You text him and he instantly responds in 0.1 seconds.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Like instead of going, hey Siri, I'm like, hey Rob. It's just instant. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Oh, you just triggered my Siri.
Way to go. Thankfully, really? Mine was over here, not near the microphone. But
hey, well, Siri, who won Survivor Africa?
Oh, she had no idea. Do you know who would know? Rob Sesternino.
Yeah,
Rob.
Who's that eight ball? He's like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Rewatching Amazon and the questions he asks that Magic 8-Ball? Wow. Right. Oh, wow. Unbelievable. Absolutely. But yeah, I love the Kelly Goldsmith name drop because we're doing so. I know you're close with Once Upon a Time or Once Upon an Island. I call him Once Upon a Time now, but Once Upon an Island, Wes.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, who got us in contact with you. But we're doing a series where we're talking about each of the winners. We're doing four winners at a time. And I said a big integral part to your win that goes unnoticed is Kelly Goldsmith or Brandon going against Kelly Goldsmith. Because
yes.
If Brandon would have went with Kelly Goldsmith, we might not be talking to you right now, Ethan.
Correct.
But so you got to kind of thank Kelly and also thank, you know, Lex and Brandon for that one. But, you know, Kelly was,
Tough, I mean, I think Kelly was on our side. I don't think they would have voted for me. Like that was a shot in the dark for Tom and I, because I had zero relationship with Brandon and Tom clearly did not get along with Brandon. So we were just putting all 100% trust in Lex. At that time, I was not okay with that decision. I still feel we would have been all right with Kelly. Even if we voted off Brandon and kept Kelly, I think we would have been okay with her as well.
Yeah. I always that's one of the most amazing votes, and you bringing her name up is what makes me think of it, because that was a potential moment that could have been the first time we really saw like a power shift in Survivor.
Yeah.
And we didn't see it, because whatever Lex said to Brandon worked for 3 days and then it was gone. But
right.
I worked for 3 days and then you were all like, no, this
is, I think the other power shift that was really neat was the first challenge when we threw the challenge to get Silas off. Mm-hmm. You know, there's obviously like we had four. Yeah. Cause Clarence was there. Yeah. Maybe not. There wasn't a power shift there, but that was a big thing at the time. Not too many people threw challenges. Mm-hmm. I can't remember of one prior to that moment where it was just a smart move to get Silas off.
So I think it was that one. And then the first time I think it was admitted was in season 5, because Sheanne, her tribe threw the challenge to get rid of Jed. Those are name drops here, guys. But so she threw the challenge to get rid of Jed at like final 14 or something like that, because they had a 2-person lead. But that's the first time it was actually admitted to Jeff that, yes, they were throwing a challenge, because I think Jeff probably would have like, killed you guys back then if he found out you were trying to throw a challenge.
Yes, that's true. Like
strategy.
And you touched on that earlier. We back in the day,
we're at
100.
We're about 100.
We like, you know, it was all about honor, integrity, keep the strong, get rid of the weak. Where like if we tried to say that to people now, we would have just been laughed off, you know. So like there is definitely I'm a workhorse, you know. Denise and I, we're kind of all out there just getting wood, always working, bustling around, cleaning, organizing. Whereas like Adam, literally there are days that he did not move. you know, maybe he'd get us some water, you know, Michelle, you know, she talked to coconut, but like I'm all, you know, I don't know. There's the workman's mentality, the team, the we versus the me was a lot more back in the day than it is now, which is fine. It's just, it's not better or worse. It's just different. It's just something I was used to in my game.
I mean, Alexa, we became pretty close with Tommy Sheehan, and Tommy Sheehan will openly tell you he's the laziest person to ever play Survivor. He did nothing. He said when people were chopping like the bamboo and stuff, he would make sure he was the one holding it. So that it would look like he was doing something, but really it was so that he wouldn't have to waste his energy chopping the bamboo.
It worked, right? He won.
It works.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
You should have been lazier, I guess.
I should have held more bamboo.
Little did you know. Problem. Here's the real problem. Little did you know that had you not carried 20 logs up that mountain, there was actually a hidden immunity idol and a free pass back into Survivor if you had just done nothing. You went for the hardworking route. All you had to do is do nothing and you would have been back in the game.
A tremendous effort challenge.
Yes. Yes.
Love a tremendous effort.
Unreal.
Love a tremendous effort for nothing. Nothing.
So who, coming into this one, who kind of surprised you out there when you actually hit the island? Was there anybody who you were expecting maybe more from or less from, or weren't really expecting anything from?
It's just so hard in these games, like with the all winners edition. I was impressed with Tony. I was surprised that he was able to continue playing as long as he did and obviously win. So I thought that someone would have gone after him at first. You know, it kind of, I understood No, I wasn't super surprised. You know, maybe Denise getting further than I thought she would. you know, I would like to see, I think Sophie was playing an incredible game, could have gone really far. Obviously it didn't work out for her, but there, it's just so hard to like back in the
go, you might as well. You're, by the way, you're the oldest person who's ever been on the internet ever. I mean, this is like Ethan Zahn, by the way, everybody is 75 right? years old.
Instagram.
Thank you. I forgot what I was going to say.
But you were going to say something about back in the day. I mean, that's all that was important. So that's gonna happen.
any good stories or just any good moment from the edge that we weren't shown?
Nothing.
Staring at each other.
Nothing good ever. I guess the only good thing that came out of it was buddies with a lot of cool people now, which is pretty cool. The only thing I got out of that place. The Tyson came up with a couple fun songs. That was really fun. We, I guess, slept in a cave that people used as an outhouse. Nice. So that was exciting behind the scenes, which, you know, we've shared that story before. You know, like the most exciting thing for us out there was peanut butter. And then that became a thing. Like when you know when the game is slow, when like peanut butter is the most exciting thing that happens to anyone the entire time you're out there. Mm-hmm.
That's brutal. I mean, that's absolutely brutal. I have another question for you though, because I know you really struggled at times. And I know we saw a lot of you talking to Parvati and being like, I don't want to quit. Like, I can't do this. I got to stick to it. Were you surprised that more people didn't quit? And also follow up to that, were you surprised that Sandra did say, screw this, I'm out of here?
I wasn't expecting anyone to quit, to be honest. I thought everyone would stay there. And, you know, for me, yeah, it was mentally torturous because just, I put a lot in effort getting ready to go on the show. A lot of people supported me to get ready to get on the show, including all the doctors, you know, that made sure I stayed alive to be able to play, and all the medicals that I got checkups. Like I had pre-medical before I could get cleared to go out to this thing. And so like after all that effort and all that stuff, I was just so like, oh, beat down when I got voted out. And as a cancer survivor, you know, there's just an extra layer of complexity, and with the stress and the anxiety and not eating and sleeping. And just, the last time I felt that way was when I was sick with cancer. And so like, I got instantly like transported to a place that I just wasn't comfortable with. And I can't talk. What am I going to turn to like Boston Rob and tell him my innermost secrets or Parvati? Like, you're still playing a game out here. Right. So when you're going through these moments, you're by yourself. You are literally isolated from the world and isolated from the people around you. And that's similar with cancer, you know, like it's a really crazy disease and it's a very isolating disease. So just all that put together and the stress and like, you know, I didn't have any CBD. So I was just all, you know, things were just going downhill. So it was just terrible. Mentally, it was like torturous out there for me. And I just thought I was giving myself cancer. It's really,
But when you were actually in the game, if you would have went further in the regular game, challenges, all that, you think you would have been fine?
Yeah, you're distracted, you're exciting, you're actually competing in challenges. Like, that's my game. I love challenges. I love the survival aspect. I love the challenge aspect. You know, the strategy was something I was going to figure out. You know, obviously I didn't play it at a level like that. So just really disappointing. I just didn't really get anything going. You know, there's nothing because it was just so quick.
Yeah. And I think that was kind of the bummer for a lot of fans too. And it's not like, oh, you disappointed us, but it was the bummer that we wanted to see, like, what were you going to be able to do to evolve in this game? And what was Amber going to be able to do? And kind of what sucked about the situation is even in Game Changers, or not Game Changers, but in Second Chance, we got to see Kimmy Kappenberg go really, really far, which was interesting to see because we didn't know what she would do. And even though she was really the only one from the old school who went really far, we still at least got to follow somebody and be like, wow, they played season 2 and now look at them in season 31. We didn't really have that on this season. There was nobody to be, yes, that's our person who made the merge and they're going to figure it out. They're going to adapt. You know, they're going to have that exciting, even if they get sixth place, at least they adapt it.
Yeah, no, that you're absolutely right. It didn't happen. So it's unfortunate for all of us old schoolers that it didn't happen, but great for the new schoolers.
Absolutely. You have anything else in those drawers that you want to throw at us? You keep turning.
Whatever you want.
I'm curious. I'm waiting for Big Tom to jump out of one of those. He's just hanging out in there.
20 drawers with one log in each of them.
I got here is this is the machete from The Edge of Extinction.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
pretty awesome.
Wow, you really won out getting to take that home. That
thing's cool. I did. And this is the machete from Africa.
Wow, what a comparison.
Yeah. Oh, here's a fun comparison for you. So, okay, so that.
This is amazing.
I'm telling you. Big Tom's about to pop out. It's going to happen. Him and his boil are just going to attack this screen right now.
Oh, my God. These are all my buffs.
Got some buffs.
Oh. I love this.
I want to expand the screen and have this just be an entire
I know. Room. It's like one of those. Remember that show, like 1 vs. 100, and there was like 100 TV screens up on like a wall? That's what this actually is. We're only seeing like 8 of these drawers, but it's like thousands.
There's everything. This goes up to the ceiling. My ceilings are 20 feet high.
I love that.
So just for example, like, you know, the way the show has progressed, you know, here is like you saw me show this challenge. This is a challenge. I mean, this is a clue, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Printed on computer paper, ripped on the edges to move. Now this is like a clue from Africa, right?
Oh my god.
Parchment paper, hand drawn, like aged perfectly, like on purpose. Wow. You know, still smells like, you know, elephant shit, you know. So that's just
so
a little
drinking
bit
like, water.
Detail in which they went back in
was
the
that
day.
Handwritten?
Yeah, handwritten.
Yeah, some intern went through calligraphy school to get paid $10 an hour to write that 45 page.
All of our names.
Yeah, all of our
that's
names.
That's incredible.
And like, you know, they still do, trust me, they challenge department, the art department's great, but this is like, you know, this is a wallet they would give us where we got for the food auctions back in the day.
Back in the day.
Right, those right. And then, you know, maybe buffs with corporate sponsors. Mm-hmm. That doesn't
Reebok
happen
I
anymore.
That, I mean, it's crazy too that you were able to collect as much as you have. Or did you just kind of come across it? Did you buy some of it? Like what did you end up doing to make sure you got so much? Because I feel like a lot of people who play, they'd struggle to even get their torch or something.
Let me just put it this way. Against a stranger on eBay.
It just helps to have big hair. That's how I smuggled all this stuff up. You just put it, just hide it in your hair on the way out. That, you know,
quarantine
this,
haircut.
Exactly. There's no security checks back in, you know, back in the day when we were flying around in 2001 pre-9/11.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, because you were right before 9/11. That's back in the day. I mean, that is back in the day. You flew out to Kenya pre 9/11 to play Survivor. That's unreal. Well, there's people.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say there's people listening right now who weren't alive when 9/11 happened. I'm just letting you know, Ethan.
I know. I mean, it's. I hope they go back and watch the older seasons if they were not alive. Check out. Another reason I don't think I'm done with Survivor, and I did not bring this to my attention. Someone else brought this to my attention, but Survivor Africa, 9/11, Survivor All-Stars, tsunami in Thailand. And then now Survivor 40, the pandemic, like it's time I stop playing Survivor. There's a global event every time I go on this freaking show.
Was there anything when you went on Amazing Race, or was like Amazing Race, it was like, oh, we actually had the best stock market year and like people were living in peace. Like, is that what was going on during the Amazing Race? Should you just play the Amazing Race all the time?
No, I got back from the Amazing Race and then I got diagnosed with cancer again.
Oh my God.
Oh geez.
Thanks for bringing it up, by the way.
Yeah, I know. No.
Play any reality game ever again.
And I'm gonna leave now, Alexa. You finish this out with Ethan. I'm out because
this has been great.
Yeah. No, so when I got back from race and I was re-diagnosed in August, and that's then crazy. I got back in August.
Because
I got diagnosed in August.
I forget the timeline, but when you had played with Jenna, it was right after you had gone into remission, if I remember correctly, and Jenna's mom had passed away, right?
Yeah, that's a whole time after that. So okay. Timeline was Africa was 2001, All-Stars 2004, Cancer 2009, Amazing Race 2011, Cancer 2011.
Yeah. Gotcha. Ooh.
Gotcha. Wow.
No, man, don't like no Big Brother. Don't you're done with CBS. You're done with CBS shows. You want to do like Deal or No Deal or something? That's
trifecta.
Fine.
Has anyone done the trifecta? Amazing Race, Big Brother, and Survivor.
Nobody's ever done it. The closest is Natalie and Hayden. Almost did all of them, but then him and Ty didn't go on the Amazing Race for some reason. But they were supposed to go. On the Amazing Race.
Maybe that's my ticket. Maybe they have those like weird shortened versions of Big Brother now, right?
Yeah,
like it's like 1 week or something. That's what I can handle. 1 week. Anything over that,
you're done. That's it. You're forget about it. Yeah. So what else, Alexa? You look like you had something you wanted to say right there.
No, Ethan, I know you're on a, I know you're on a time limit. So I just want to make sure we're hitting everything yeah. that you, I know that I, everything.
You even let me dig in the drawers. We've hit every, the last thing, last plug, selfless, mm-hmm. Not selfless. It is selfless and selfish plug. These shirts right here, this is like last call. They're going away. So once mm-hmm. these are gone, they're gone forever. And so if you want them, now would be the time to do it. It's got this logo on the back, this commemorative survivor logo right there. And money goes to rare cancer research. But once they are done, they are done. So this is the last call for these shirts.
Where can we find those? Because I should probably buy one since I think Thailand's a better season than some of the seasons we've watched. That's how much I like old school.
And then
survivor.
I have another shirt coming out, which is more present to what's going on in the world and applicable to all your fans who are just, you know, here we go. We got old school reality.
Oh, there we go.
And this, very all the money from this benefits Hearts of Reality, which is a charity in Love Florida that a lot of survivors are participating.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, so go find those. I think I got to buy one of those for sure. But then also I do want to give a shout out here to, West. Sunday, who was just unfortunately diagnosed with two forms of cancer. It was in People and everything. And we've had Sunday on a lot. Sunday, mm-hmm. I think, is our number one person who's been on in terms of how many times she's been on our podcast. So we love Sunday and we're really upset by the news, but you know, we love you and we're hoping everything turns out okay.
Yes. I met Sunday at a survivor like fantasy camp, like in Maine, where a bunch of people would come and play a game, and she was there, and incredibly lovely woman. And mm-hmm. yes, I'm sending all my love and light and cancer crushing vibes to Sunday.
Yes,
so, you know,
yeah,
kick its ass, Sunday. Definitely. We love you, and you know, it's just brutal. But yeah, I just saw that yesterday, and I was like, damn. But you know. But so other than that, Ethan, do you have anything else that you want to throw in here, or we got?
We plug. I usually plug us at the end, but you have like five things that.
Yeah,
I'd
I'm not here to plug. Well, I guess it was your little plug, but
no,
log challenge Saturday, June 13th. Shirts, ethanzahn.com. There you go.
Ooh, love that.
I love that. ethanzahn.com. Love that. Go ahead, Alexa. Take it home then.
Well, so there's no alexapappas.com, unfortunately, but you can follow us on social media, Survivor Specialist, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. For those of you who are looking for something to do in this potentially very long off season, every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, we are talking with Once Upon an Island, who connected us with Ethan. He's been super fantastic. We're talking about every single winner. It's taking 10 weeks and it's going to be really exciting. So, or it has been really exciting. So we've done it twice already. So make sure to tune into that. Make sure to do the log/wine/stick challenge this weekend. And Ethan, thank you so much for coming on. We had a really great time and good luck with your AMA tonight. Hope it goes well.
Awesome. Thank you guys. This has been really fun. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ethan.
Later.